videos from Madagascar.
Pictures made me smile so much. If you were on the group that went before, I hope you recognize lots of faces. So at this time, the children may go with Pastor Rachel over to the Children's Center. I feel really echoey.
Yeah, yeah,
okay, just so keep talking. Oh, he gave me, I'm just going to keep talking. All right, so I am Levita. For those of you who haven't met me yet, I work with the youth and work with missions here at Asbury Church. And I'm really excited to be back on like home soil, talk about some answered prayers. So I was fully prepared to go for 18 days without a shower. I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this because there's not always like showers or hot water. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. And we got there, and the house where we stayed, they had a shower. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You love me so much. So it was a beautiful blessing. But it sounds like I missed a few things while I was here, or I was gone, I was down there. I got all these notifications of like flooding and rains and everything. And even though it was winter down there, it was okay. Like you saw, they had like coats and stuff on. I was quite comfortable in t-shirts and pants. It was wonderful. So I missed all of that. So today I actually get to continue the top 40 theology that we're going to be doing. And I have the perfect song. You're going to agree. This is the perfect song. And Dwayne thinks it's actually about him. So I've asked him to play the perfect song. And if you know it, feel free to sing along.
She missed Dwayne down in Africa. She missed Dwayne down in Africa. She missed Dwayne. She missed Dwayne down in Africa. Da, 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 down.
Very nice. Although truth be told, I think Dwayne missed me more. He was wanting to be down in Africa with me because he had to keep the house going. I got to go play. So I still feel really loud, so I don't know if you can turn the monitor down. I just hear myself a lot. All right. So today, I get to share not only about my trip, but it's actually like a message, not just show and tell. So the title today is Willing to Be Audacious. So I think as we go through this, like, yeah, what we set out to do was incredibly audacious, and we had absolutely no idea that's what we were doing. So the way that God used a simple, like, idea, like, if you were here when I first shared about it, it's all started with this whole, like, I have this idea. And I wasn't really sure, like, where to go with this. So I was driving, and I was praying for LaPorte. Just a quick recap in case you missed the first little thing. I was praying for LaPorte. We had a fantastic time there 2 years ago. The team we took, we did ministry, we did outreach, we grew. It was amazing. But when I left, I didn't really feel like I was done. And I've actually had the privilege of being in many different countries over the years, and I always felt when we left like I did what God called me to do, and I'm done with this portion. And when we left, I didn't have that feeling. I like, there's something more. Madagascar's not done with me. Didn't really know what that meant. So over the years, I'd be praying for them. One of the strange things is when we went to Madagascar, we were, we did like a VBS. We just kind of threw it together, did this VBS, thinking, no, but, I mean, we do VBS, right? Like, hey, VBS, we do that. Not a big deal. So we did this, and they were like, how do you do that? What do you do? And they were like wanting notes and like how to do this. And we're like, I don't know. We just do it. Like, just do it, right? VBS just happens. Don't tell Rachel I said that. She'll be like, VBS does not just happen. Like, it's a lot of work, but we know how to do it. And they wanted like notes and stuff because that was not something that they did. They have amazing outreach and amazing groups that go out and work with people in the rock fields and in the garbage dump and like all of these things, but they don't have VBS. And so I saw like as other groups came in, there were people from Germany, people from France, from Switzerland, from Mauritius, from the States, all of these groups, and they'd have this great time. So like as I was driving one day, I was praying for LaPorte, that's the name of the church, and I heard God say, why should they have to wait? And in that moment, there was this like full-blown idea of like, what if we trained their leaders to do VBS so they didn't have to wait for us or for somebody else to come to them? I wasn't entirely sure where to go with that. And I actually was visiting, had plans to visit Tina that summer, so I went out and I was talking to her because she had felt that same sense of not finished. And I shared this with her, and she was like, yes, yes, that just sounds, yes, that's the piece, that's the missing piece. And so as only God can orchestrate, a couple who is in leadership at LaPorte came to New York, to Syracuse, like a month later. It is not easy to travel out of Madagascar. So kind of a miracle that they were stateside in Syracuse, where they had attended school like 40 years ago. So we go up and have dinner with them, and I was like, I have this idea. And I was nervous because I'm like, it's VBS. It's like this baby idea. It's like this idea. And so I said, I have this idea, and I shared it, and he was like, yes, that's what we need. So we did a Zoom call with the leadership of LaPorte when he returned back to Madagascar. And I shared, and they were very excited. And I was like, all right, well, when do you want to, or Anji, Pastor Anji is the head pastor there. And he said something that I think shows amazing leadership on his part. And he said, and we can train others. Like, he's not keeping it to himself. He's gonna share this. And I said, well, when do you think we should do this? And he said, well, why wait? Like, let's do it this summer. And I'm like, okay. I said, God's going to have to work out some things, right? Like, there's like money. And amazingly enough, because God kind of has plans, he provided a job for me. That job paid for my trip. Like, all of these things working together. All of this stuff that we didn't really know where it was going. So I have a text I'm going to read today. It is Acts 8, 26 through 40. I'm reading NIV version, so if my words are a little different. than yours. But this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I understand," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. It said that the eunuch did not see Philip again, which also implies that Philip did not see the eunuch again. God gave Philip instruction, something very small: go down to the road. So he went down to the road. Philip did not know the end result. And unlike many portions of the Bible, we actually don't know the end result of Philip's obedience. We don't know what happened with that eunuch. We don't know what life his life may have affected. This side of heaven, we don't know. And I like that, because so many times we read accounts in the Bible and we look at their pain and their suffering and the difficulty, but we get to read the ending. And we're like, yeah, it was worth it. That was great. Oh, that was good. Oh, okay, well, they died a martyr, but, you know, they're in heaven now rejoicing. That's okay. Like, we know, look at what their ministry came about because of that. And it's so encouraging. But that isn't life. We are in the spot we are in, and we don't get to know how it turns out. We don't know how our life will affect those around us. When we have a little thing like, go down to the road, hey, I have this idea, it's a little thing that God takes for his purpose. So today I'm going to tell you the story of the first steps. And the really fun thing about this story is that you guys all get to be a part of it, because you've been on these first steps with me. As a church, we've done this. So this is also part of your steps, and I get to share with you some of what has happened because of this. Do we know the ending? No, but I have some really exciting stuff to share. So I'm going to tell you our little story. So we get down there. Lots of travel. It's a lot of travel. It's like 25 hours on an airplane. When you sleep for 8 hours and wake up and have five more to go, it's a long ways. You're like, does this thing stop anywhere? So got down there, and one of the things that we had done in our discussion, the title of this is Willing to be Audacious. All right, guys, this was our plan. We're going to go down. We're going to take 2 days. On the first day, we're going to explain what VBS is, and we're going to get ideas. And on the second day, we're going to take this group of people, and they're going to design a VBS. And then they're going to have 3 days to gather all the supplies, and then we're going to have a day to set up, and then we're going to do it. This is like a great plan, right? Like, we can do this. Okay, so a little audacious, a little bold, but hey, this is going to work. So we get there, and we had told them ahead of time, like, we want to bring the concept of VBS, the concept of reaching children with creative approaches and fun, learning more Bible. But we don't want this to be American, because Jesus is not American. So we want this to be yours. Our whole goal, our prayer, was that this would become Malagasy, and they would take it, make it theirs, and run with it. That was our prayer. So we show up at the airport, and Tina had just said to me, sorry, Tina, Angie, if you're watching, just ignore this part. Tina said, oh, man, if there are a lot of people there, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm really tired. And we showed up, and like our whole Malagasy family was there. It was awesome. And suddenly we weren't tired anymore. It was wonderful. And we got to see everybody. And we go back to the house where we're staying. They had a shower, praise Jesus. And they give us notebooks. And if you can't see this, it says VBS, but at the top it says Elbika. Elbika is Children's Vacation Bible Study, or Children's Vacation Bible Story. That's what it is. They had taken it already, and they're like, we're going to make it ours. So we had this. So that was like half of what we were going to do the first day anyways. It was like done. Then they said, oh, by the way, 2 days is too long, so we're just going to do it in a day and a half. I think people will be able to attend better. All right, we can do it in a day and a half. Got this. Okay, so we have Elbika. So we go the first day, and we are talking about Elbika. We're getting ideas. We train on like what this is. What do you do? How do you make it a fun thing, kind of the nuts and bolts of like rotations and things that you can provide, what kind of stations do you want to have, families, words that are kind of in our vocabulary because we've seen it before, we've attended before. And so before lunch, we had about an hour left. We'd gone over the nuts and bolts of it, and we're like, all right, let's do it. Let's make a list of all the different kinds of stations we could do. And they had great, like, we had like, I don't know, probably 27 different station ideas to choose from. And then we brainstormed ideas. What topics could we do? What kind of things could we do? Brainstormed tons of them. And I have to say, we were hoping for like 15 people from the church. There were 42 people there. We're like, oh, all right, here we go. And so we divided them into groups, and we gave them each a binder. And this binder had like a template for designing an idea for VBS. So they do all of their templates, and they turn them in, and then we go have lunch. And it's really funny because there's no restaurants. Like, you bring your lunch, or you go buy it at a little stand. And it was interesting lunch. So everybody goes and does lunch. And during that time, we talked with Pastor Angie, and we're like, what? Here are 18 VBSs. We have 18 to choose from, except Elbikas. We have 18 Elbikas. So we went through them, some great ideas. I was like, ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, I like that one. Some were like, oh, this would be a good Bible study. This would be a good Sunday school. So we have all these ideas. And there was one that was about emotion. And like the ideas that they had were really good. And Angie's like, no, I think that's a good one. And so we're like, all right. And Tina are like, emotion, piece of cake. So many activities we can do. We have like all these ideas. Our brains are exploding. We're like, oh, he picked an easy one. Like, this is great. All right, we got an easy one to go for it. So we come back from lunch, and we're like, all right, we talked with Pastor Angie, and we have an idea, and we picked an easy one to develop because it's our first time, and we'll be able to do it quickly. And we're going to do emotion. And they were like, okay, how are we going to do this? And there was, and I'll reference this later, but there's this guy named Fanu, and he did not look happy. He did not look happy. So I was like, oh, okay, what's going on? So Fanu, if you're watching this, I love you, and it gets better. So, so we started brainstorming, and we went through day by day. And we're like, all right, the first day, we're going to talk about fear. And I did not plan to do this, but I actually preached like a mini sermon on each day about emotion. So fear. The second day was envy, which is not what I would have chosen, but they chose it, and it was really good. And then anger, and then sadness to joy, where we talked about the resurrection of Jesus. And we went through each day, and you see these sticky notes? This was so fun. So I kind of like talked about fear, talked about the stations. We're like, what are some ideas? What can we do for drama on Fear Day? What can we do on this for Music Day? And had so we had this for every single station for every single topic. They just sticky noted the tar out of the whole cafe. It was beautiful. So we did all this, had all these ideas, and we kind of like wrap it up. And as I was having people brainstorm, Fafa, who was our translator, who we stayed with, she said, this is really good. I was like, okay. She goes, Malagasy do as they are told. They don't come up with the ideas. I was like, oh, okay. As we're saying here, come up with a VBS idea. Be easy, do it. And they did it, they jumped in and they did it. So we're like, okay, getting some ideas. So we end the day with all these brainstormed ideas, these sticky notes, walls covered. It was beautiful, had a great time. And then we went to dinner. And we went to dinner, for those of you that went to Madagascar, we went to Bonjouk, the Korean restaurant. It was really, I was like, oh, we come here every time we're in Madagascar. I'm going to get my usual, which I did, because it was amazing. So we go to dinner, and while we're at dinner, we were there with Anji and Faneva, the pastor and his wife, and we were there with Fanu and Baku. Anji has the hat on, Fanu's on the other side of me, and Fanu was the one who looked not happy. Was like, so we go to Bonjouk, and we're talking, and Anji says, we need to know how many people are going to stay for the whole thing. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, the people that were there today, they're there for the training. Only about 20% are from La Porte. I was like, oh. So back when Anji said we need to share, we can train others, his leadership and his humility humble me. He said, all right, this is good for La Porte. This is great for Madagascar. And he extended the invitation to the ministries and the groups of Antananarivo to come in and receive training. And he's like, I don't know how many are going to stay to help, because 42 is great for staffing a VBS, but 8 is a little bit harder. And so he's like, I'm not really sure. He goes, but I was like, all right, we'll try to figure that out tomorrow. That's a good thing. And so Anji is a former principal. He was a principal for 20 years at a school. And he tells me, he says, so Malagasy do not receive the same school system that you do. In Madagascar, they are only given closed questions. They will be asked, what is 2 + 2? Not, what are ways you can get to 4? They are not used to thinking outside the box. They are not used to coming up with alternative ideas. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, what did we make them do? And he's like, this has been really good because they've had to think outside the box. They've had to explore other ways to do something. And we did. We kind of pushed them. Like, they'd have this idea. I'm like, okay, how else could we do this? How could we do this? And it was really good. And they did it. Like, they just jumped in and did it. And then Fanu says, when you said to me, we chose an easy one, and then you said, we're going to do emotion, I thought, this is not easy. I said, in Madagascar, children, people, are not supposed to show emotion. Emotion is something to be covered and hidden. I was like, oh, okay. And he said, but this is really good, because they need to know how God created them with emotion and how to express it in a godly way. And I was like, wow, okay. Because they never would have chosen that one to do on their own. They would never have developed that one because it would have seemed too big. And Tina and I are like, hey, it's an easy one. Let's do it. And they went with us. I'm like, wow, now that right there is a miracle. Everybody from all 8 different ministries across the city went, okay, we'll do it. This is hard, but we'll do it. So we were talking and stuff, and Fanu shared, he goes, I have to share with you, and I'll probably get a little teary because every time I talk about this, I still get teary. Before, even up until the day I left, I told Dwayne, the day I left. I said, I'm nervous about this. I don't, you guys know me, I don't get very nervous very often. Like, glad we'll do it, we'll wing it. I'm like, I'm really nervous about this because I don't want to go and waste their time. Like, I don't want it to be a waste of time. For me, I think I'm taking VBS. Like, that's just a children's program, right? Like, just, I want it to be worth their time. And I was really, and God kept saying, do this. And I was like, okay, but it's just this little thing. How is it going to have an impact? So Fanu says, as we're at dinner, he said, 2 months ago, my friend came back from being in South Africa. And my friend said to me, we are African. And our children are African. And we are losing our children. We need a way to reach Africa's children. And he said something incredibly humbling to me, because now I'm going to cry. He said, for 2 months I've been praying for a way to reach Africa's children. And today you gave me that answer. And I'm like, it's just this little thing, this little idea. So here's this idea. Here's this thing, this little thing that God told me to do. And I think, okay, let's go do that. Let's go do that. Okay, we're going to go do that. We're going to talk about emotion. Let's go do that. On Sunday, you guys prayed for us. And Pastor Dave had Rachel pray. And we're watching this as we're sitting in Antananarivo. And Rachel prayed for the children of Africa, mimicking Fanu's words almost exactly. What an incredible reminder that the God we serve is not a God of geography, but the God of the world and cares about each of the children of the world. So I get home that night and I'm talking to Tina and I said, can you believe the audacity of us? We come across the world and we say, hey, we've got this thing. You're going to do it in like a day and a half. We're going to put it together. It's going to be great. And we're going to do emotions. No problem. Let's do it. And they did it. And they were like, they went with us on it. I don't think, I mean, I'd love to see what a wonderful pillar of faith I am, but you guys know me better than that. I'd love to be like, yeah, we knew what God was asking. No, we had no idea. Sometimes God asks us to be audacious, but does not give us the whole story at the very beginning. He gave a little thing, and he said, go do this. And I looked at that and went, wow, that's kind of big. Okay, let's see where this goes. We need to be audacious. And something that I think is really important is we talk about, like, okay, we need to be audacious. And there are three things that I think are really critical when we strive to live audaciously. And one is we need to know the shepherd's voice. If we are not used to hearing the shepherd's voice, we do not know where that audacious idea is coming from. We need to know the shepherd's voice, and we know that by spending time with him. We also need to have wise counsel. I had this idea. It was a kernel of an idea. I did not buy a ticket the next day and show up on Pastor Angie's doorstep and say, hey, here I am. Let's do this. But I sought wise counsel because we need that in our lives. And we need to act on the steps that God gives us. It gives us freedom when we are acting on the steps God does because they aren't our own. The Bible talks about our steps being ordered of God. So it, even though it can be paralyzing to think, what steps should I take? Where should I go? When we are acting and listening to the shepherd's voice, it gives us a freedom to make a bigger impact than we even think we possibly can. So on Thursday, this is day two, by the way, hadn't even been in country 48 hours yet. So day two, we go, and it's the planning day. We had chosen what we were going to do for our for stations. They'd picked the stations. Super fun stations, great dance, which you know I was not in charge of. We discovered that Americans do not, like, Malagasy dance with their shoulders, and my shoulders are not Malagasy. There was quite a bit of humor involved in Levita learning how to Malagasy dance. It was super fun, but I'm glad I could be the comic relief for him. So Thursday we go, we're planning, and what we did is we had leaders from the church were in each of the six stations, and they had people with them. We asked, who's going to be here next week to do this, right? We got the training, who's going to do the work? And first miracle, okay, maybe like 17th miracle, every single person but three had classes and could not be there. Every single person was like, yes, we'll be here. Guys, eight different churches work together to do an LBKA as one. That's miraculous. Like, that is miraculous. It was amazing. People from all over the city work together to do LBKA at one church. Pretty amazing. So they all divide out. So we have the station leaders, and then we had family leaders. And so I explained to them, like, all right, family leaders, you're going to need to come up with, like, how you divide the kids, how we do this, how we gave them this. And I would talk to them about the importance of the family leader, how you are Jesus with skin on. Like, you are the one who gets to minister to these kids day after day after day. So did this and gave them 2 hours to plan. We came back in 2 hours, and we're like, all right, let's hear what you have. So day one, day two, day three, like, just talk it through, do it. And they did. And it was amazing. Everything flowed. Every single station. Like, it just flowed. And we're listening. Tina and I were, like, looking at each other like, can you believe this? This is incredible. And then something happened that still gives me goosebumps. Somebody asked the question, what about security? And they kind of translated for us. They were having this discussion. And then all of a sudden, it was no longer VBS. It was LBKA. And it was not ours. And they took it, and they ran with it, and they problem solved, and they figured stuff out. And literally for 20 minutes, Tina and I just sat back. We're like, okay. And we just watched a miracle. The prayer of our heart was that they would take this and make it their own to reach their children. And it was like a wildfire. They just went. And it was amazing. And then they got done discussing, and Nina looks at me and goes, okay, we're good. You want to close? I'm like, okay, let's pray. And so we prayed. And we said, see you in 4 days. Gather the stuff you need. There you go. And they had been talking about decorations and what do we do and how's this. So we had, that was Thursday. We had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where they gathered stuff. Monday, we were available if they needed us. Some people came in. We had people come in. They're like, no, I just want to look at my space, see what I want to do with it. I'm like, okay. We're like, we're here. Tuesday comes. Tuesday's setup day. Nina kept asking us, like, well, what about this? What about this? I said, we have no idea what's showing up at all. Like, we have no clue. So we come, and we're there on Tuesday, and people start coming in. And they start pulling things out of their bags and dumping out things. And there's stuff, and there's balloons, and there's supplies. Kendra, can you put that one up? It's a picture of our hands. And there's all this stuff. And it just came in, and they started setting up, and it was gorgeous, and it was all them. It was everything. They took it, and they ran with it. So my first point was be audacious. My second point is be willing. Be willing to follow a vision God gives you. It's amazing. But there's another piece. These people, oh, you can put it back. These people partnered with a vision God gave somebody else. They were willing to be a part of something that wasn't entirely their idea. And I think, like, being part of something that you think of is It's kind of easy, right? Like, this is a great idea. Let's do this. But partnering with somebody else's idea that God has given them is vital. Like, this is important. This is the family of God. Elbika was a willingness from 8 different groups from different churches all over Tana. Let's see if she's in there. One woman, you'll see her in a different picture. One woman was from a ministry across town. She took 3 different buses. It took her 3 hours each way. But she came every single day because she's desperate for ways to reach the children she ministers to. Incredibly humbling. Incredibly humbling. So, some really fun things. This was one of the crafts for the day. So these are stickers printed on sticker paper, and this is paper, right? It's paper. Oh, we're out of paper. All right, somebody go grab some construction paper from the store, right? Super easy. Gabby's in the glasses on the left-hand side. Gabby brings in a stack of 250 squares with a circle drawn in the middle. They had 4 days to collect supplies. Gabby really wanted anger and joy so that the kids could reflect that even in our anger, we don't sin and we can have the joy of Jesus in our heart. This was really important. So she really wanted red and yellow for joy. So she went home the first night and she painted 250 squares red. Let it dry. Night 2, she flips them all over and paints them all yellow on the other side so that they have both sides. And then the next night, because they were dry, she traced 250 circles. And then on Tuesday, I cut out 250 circles. Not sure why that became my job. I got to be the cut, and I got to cut out 150 angry eyebrows. because they don't have scissors for 40 kids to cut out their stickers and put them on. They had 5 pairs that we went to people's houses to borrow. The willingness and the humility to do what needs to be done to reach the children of their city blew me away. From this little tiny idea, I have this idea, and I was so nervous to bring it because it felt so little, so insignificant. And yet God used it, used your faithfulness in praying and helping and being a part of this journey, these first steps, to something much, much bigger. So in Elbika's first iteration, if you want to switch, Kendra, this is the final day. We had 175 kids there. We don't know how many were there throughout the week because we had different kids every day. We actually chartered a bus from Golan, which is the garbage dump, to have the kids from Golan come. And so that they could come, it's $20 to get the bus there. It was 60,000 RERE. So we had kids from Golan, had different kids every day. So in the first iteration, 175 kids. So our prayer was that it would give them an opportunity to reach people. So this group of leaders, you can go to the next. The lady in red, 1, 2, 3 on the left-hand side, she's the one that took the bus from across the city. She's doing Elbika right now with her group. Don't know how many kids. Minu and Injara. Minu makes maki and sells them at the marketplace. So she gave me this. I love it. Minu and Injara, they actually work with a group of trafficked children. And they work for an NGO out of Cambodia that was started by an American man to rescue children out of slavery. They are doing Elbika with their trafficked children. This is a little map of Madagascar. And Tananarivo is right here in the center in the highlands. So we have 8 different groups. We have 17 more Elbikas already ready for them to go. Emotions was a big hit. It was amazing. Everybody loved it. And then we randomly found a book on feelings in Malagasy and English in the library that Gabi and Fanu printed because they are publishers. And they gave us a copy. So we're going to put one of these in the nursery over over there. So Antananarivo is here. Mumpuna, I always get her name's like 17 letters long. Mumpuna, you might have seen the grumpy person in the slideshow that looked really angry. That's because she was the character and it was anger day. So she wasn't actually really angry to be there. Mumpuna and her husband run a camp for children and they just finished Elbika on the west coast of Madagascar. Anji and Fanu work frequently with the Muslim community on the northwest coast and have plans to take Elbika to the Muslim community on the northwest. Gerard and Gladys is an artist. She painted this for me. Gerard, he is from a tribe on the southeast coast, and he and Gladys are planning to take Elbika to his village. Patty and Julio couldn't be there because they're in the south, but they have the resources to do Elbika in the south. These people are going to change Madagascar for Jesus. And we got to have a tiny piece of that. When we are willing to live audaciously, we don't get to know the ending, but God gives us opportunity. I don't know where each of you is, but I know that God has a calling on each and every one of your lives to live willingly audacious for Him. You may be an all energy person and be like, sure, let's do it. And you may be like a jump in, and God may be saying, let's pull that back a little bit. Follow me. You may be one who loves to plan. You're like, I'll just plan and plan and plan. And God's going, let's go. Come on. I would always say that to our training sessions. I'd be like, ready, go. And then they would just go. I think some of us, God wants us to just go. Today, we're gonna close with a song. And not doing like an altar call or anything, but I actually want to challenge you, wherever you are in your walk with God, whatever plans God is putting in your heart, use this time to offer up your willingness to live the audacious life God has for you. Because He wants to take your baby steps and change your world. And He can.